This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So our beloved Jake.
Cronenworth.
Jacob. Has pulled his calf, potentially? Did anybody see when this happened or what happened?
I know they took him out in the ninth inning defensively.
And I thought it was just like, hey, we got a lead. Like, let's get Sully in there. Let's you know, like the old adult league move of like, hey, get in there and get an inning.
That's not how they do it in the big leagues.
Wave to your parents. Yeah.
Kevin Acey's daily newsletter says Cronenworth left last night's game in the ninth inning after feeling tightness in his calf while trying to beat out a grounder. His at bat in the top of the eighth. Schilt said it's too early to tell.
Oof. I don't like that.
No updates.
I don't like that at all.
Too early to tell sounds.
Here you are, doom. Blessed with the most magnificent calves of all time, literally. And now Jake Cronenworth needs.
Give him a calf.
Give him part. Ben could give him a tenth of his calf, and it would still be bigger than what Crony's got.
Yeah. The problem is that my calves are extremely tight. And if the problem is a tight calf, you don't find tighter calves than the ones that I have.
Not a lot of fast twitch in
there. Which is I have the slowest of twitch muscles in those calves.
You might be the slowest human on the planet.
Jake.
Potentially.
If there was like a calf transplant and Jake like started to run, and he'd go like,
It's over. I switched calves with a radio host, and I don't get to play baseball anymore.
My back hurts.
They literally used me in the ninth inning to pinch hit, and then they pinch run for me immediately. That's a bummer, man. And you hope it's not one of those nagging, you know, bothers him all year. It's tough. We've really been pretty blessed this year, injury wise. Knock on wood, and to have that guy go down is a real bummer. And defensively, look, those were interesting plays to Brett Sullivan yesterday in the ninth inning. You know, the ball's gonna at first base. The ball is always gonna come your way at some point. Somebody's gonna have to throw, you know, make a throw or whatever. A couple of interesting plays where it's like, good God, man, that's like drinking from the fire hose yesterday with the throw that he had to jump for. Then he got kneed in the back, and then Xander made that really nice play, couldn't finish the throw.
I don't know that
maybe the
Jake,
grass was
I don't
wet.
Know that Jake makes any of those outs either.
I don't either.
But,
I don't either.
Yeah, concern for Jake Cronenworth, absolutely. The backup situation right now at first base is a little tenuous. Padres did sign a player who's played some first base yesterday. We can talk a little bit more later about Donovan Solano on a minor league deal. But I did want to point out just quickly the bullpen once again did an outstanding job. Yesterday. I think that's the third time in four games that the bullpen has been unscored upon for the Padres. And while they did bring the tying run to the plate in the ninth inning, none of those balls left the infield. Robert Suarez did end up getting his sixth save, but really nice job by Eniel De Los Santos and Stephen Kolek coming in. And it hasn't just been, you know, I guess you'd say the top now setup guys are Matsui and Peralta, but they haven't been the only guys who have started to come through. De Los Santos is pitching well. Kolek has delivered more often than not.
Yep.
You're getting good work out of the bullpen that we kind of expected when the Padres put a lot of emphasis on those signings in the offseason. Been paying some dividends of late for the San Diego Padres. And yeah, you never, until that last inning in the last, you know, they got that tying run up, Brewers never even really threatened. It was not like, The 7-3 lead ever felt very tenuous for the San Diego Padres, which was nice.
It was very nice.
Not a lot of drama in the last three innings of that game until maybe the last at-bat when Frelick came up and had a chance to tie it. I'm going, yeah, well, he's throwing it so hard with that fastball. If he just happens to run into it, that would be an ugly way to have to go to extra innings after you had a 7-3 lead with two outs and nobody on in the ninth inning, but did not happen that way. Got the fly out, got the save, and the Padres got the victory yesterday in Milwaukee.
Yeah, and like we were talking about Campy earlier, he had been 0 for 14. Then the dude gets two knocks in the same inning, which was, what an inning. Like, that's such, what a cool thing. Off the same pitcher as well. So, yeah, man, you wonder too, Benny, like, what would they do? What would they do if Crony went down? Are you riding with Sully at first? Are you Jurickson Profar has played some first? Could you put Sugar out in left? You're going to have a lefty on the bump today. Might be a good day to give Jake off. You got a lefty on the bump in Wade Miley.
Or do you add another $1 million to whatever your last offer to Brandon Belt was?
Yeah, but he can't play today, right? Like, that's the thing, is we could get Brandon Belt, but he's not flying in from Arizona and like, where's my gear? You know, like,
I'm talking if Crony's out for
Extended period of time, yeah.
Or I've got an outside the box possibility. First, let me throw out the numbers for Take on Woods.
Maybe Fernando, we just move him.
But it's crazy. 833-288-0973. 833-288-0973. Want to play our musical trivia challenge. Chance to qualify for Las Vegas here in about 3 minutes. Call now, get online, and we need a contestant here for Take on Woods. You do have a guy who can do everything in the field except throw the ball right now.
Oh, God. Boy.
And he's got really good hands. I'd imagine that he'd be able, at least for a few days, to fill in ably at first base if they asked him to.
I would like to
without
see
having
that.
To make any strenuous throws over there.
There's plenty of strenuous throws. Plenty.
From first base?
Yes. Plenty.
There's not that many.
There's plenty.
There's enough where
it's incredibly
it
hard.
Set him back.
It's incredibly hard.
I'm not saying it's not a hard position,
bro. You got the cut from right field on a play at the plate that you have.
Still, that's a 90-foot throw, not all the way across
not
the diamond
necessarily. What if it's in the you know, if it goes rattles down the corner, you got to be out there as the first baseman. He's on the grass. That's a long throw. You got
throwing as hard as he can.
You got a chopper to first base with a runner on first. You got a spin. Throw to sec. I mean, it's so effing hard. You don't hide injured guys at first. You really don't hide anybody at the big league level. Do I eventually think he'll be our first baseman? Yes, absolutely. It's the natural progression for that man. And I think he'll be a damn good one. But I don't think you do it today. Especially if he's not.
There's a lot of first basemen in baseball that really can't throw the ball well.
Yeah,
it's actually rare.
But they're not hurt.
Surgery. I don't want him.
But he is throwing the ball.
He is.
And before the games, he's throwing the ball.
He is. And if he can play third, he'd
be playing
third.
Sense they don't want him to have to throw it over like 10 times on grounders from third, and that's why he's not playing out there. If he had to throw it once or twice from first base, my guess is that would be okay at this point. If he's throwing, he's throwing. And he is throwing.
Ben, this is not fantasy baseball. You can't just say, hey, I know you're not cleared to play third, but go play first. Like, I mean, could he do it? Yes, he can do it.
Even a guy with the glove that Manny Machado has, too. You don't just ask guys to play out of position, completely new spot, at a big league level, just on a whim.
So Jeff said, Harper did it last year. Yeah, but they told him, you're our first baseman now. Like, it's a different thing. Instead of, hey, Crony pulled his calf. Can you grab his first baseman's mitt and run on out there? It's just different.
Has Sullivan ever played first base? They just threw him out there.
I mean, that's what we're riding with, I think. What I would do with a lefty on the bump today is a good day to give Crony off. He was scuffling a little bit, you know, rolling over a little bit right now. Give him the day off. Let him try to get that calf ready. Put Profar over at first, and then put Sugar out and left, and, you know, let the chips fall where they may.
833-288-0973, calling for Take on Woods. One other thought on Jake. You mentioned his defense. It's been outstanding so far
incredible.
This year, and it's been pointed out that Jake has a different strategy. He is trying to play as far off the bag as humanly possible. I mean, he's not even in the vicinity of first base against right-handed hitters anymore.
There's been a couple times, too, grounder to Xander. Xander's double clutching.
Yeah, he's going
to
wait because, I mean, and Jake's got the speed and the athleticism that he can get over there in plenty of time and turn around. But it is a timing issue where, you know, he's got one, two, three. He's got to get over there and make that turnaround and find the ball, find where it's coming. And he's done such a good job, but he has saved it. Like, that line drive drive that he caught.
That's an easy
you
hit.
Can't, yeah. You don't get that unless you're that far off the base.
You should see how close to the bag I put. It would surprise you because I can't get over there. I can't get over there in time. I love Manny. I don't think that's the solution today for a game or two, but we'll you know, obviously update you guys when we hear more about the injury situation but for Crony. But today's a good day to get him off. You got some bench. Use that bench. Get Eggy in there for sure, 100%. Lefty on the mound. He is Manny Ramirez when there's a lefty on the mound. Like, put him in the three hole for all I care today. Nobody hits lefty.
Yeah, Mike Schilt's aggressive. He'll put Eggy in there, but the second they go to a right-hander out of the bullpen, here comes Tyler Wade.
Yep.
Might be the fourth inning. It's like, okay, that's it for Eggy today. We're moving on to someone else.
Yeah,
so,
100%.
All right, we'll continue the Padres talk and the discussion of the Donovan Solano signing coming up later this hour. Right now, though, let's play a little Take on Woods.
It's time for Take on Woods.
All right, Take on Woods is brought to you by, keep calling, 833-288-0973. Take on Woods is brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. It only takes 15 minutes. You don't have to get out of your car. For directions and discounts, go to SoCalOilChange.com. That's SoCalOilChange.com. I'm trying to get a new contestant in here today.
We had two, and they just dropped off.
Phone lines are having some issues, but call again here, 833-288-0973. If you were trying earlier, we'll see if we can just put you right on hold, get you through. 833-288-0973. We are playing for the trip to Las Vegas grand prize drawing end of the month. It's a two-night stay at the Westgate Las Vegas Resort and Casino and two tickets to Kool and the Gang, back by popular demand after multiple sold-out shows. The legendary funk group Kool and the Gang returns to the stage at the Westgate Las Vegas Resort and Casino with their residency through 2024. Get your tickets now at Ticketmaster.com. The Westgate Las Vegas Resort and Casino features newly designed premier rooms, part of their $70 million room renovations, home of legendary Vegas fun. All right, now I see some calls on the line. Paulie, what line should we go to? Let's try. No, look at all those lines now. All those first timers. Let's go with
4 or 5.
Let's go with line 4. Caller, who's this?
Hey.
Hey, who's this?
Hey, this is Joey.
Joey, you here to play Take on Woods?
Yeah, let's play. All right,
you're in today. Joey's our contestant. Thank you for calling in. Everybody else, thank you also for calling in. Try again tomorrow. Call earlier. You'll get on the line a little bit easier. Here are your category choices. We've got royal titles, 5-song titles or artists that include a British royal title in the name. Going up, 5-song titles that begin with up. And our new category, Let's Go Padres. 5 musical answers, all with a synonym for dad. Let's go, Padres. Somewhere in the answer. So, royal titles, going up, or let's go, Padres. Joey?
Let's go, Padres.
Let's go, Padres. All right. I've got to thank our my long-ago former intern when I was in radio and TV producer, Doug Downing, helped me come up with this category.
I love Doug Downing.
Doug's a great guy, Doug and Brianne, and Doug sent me a few Take on Woods suggestions, so I adapted this one. It's called Let's Go Padres, and it's 5 musical answers that all include a synonym for dad somewhere in the answer. So, Joey, you go first, then Woods goes. If you beat her time, we'll put you into the drawing for Las Vegas. You know how it works, right?
Sounds good.
Yeah. All right. 60 seconds on the clock. First category. First questions are 2-second songs. You need to give me the title and the artist, as Paulie calls that one, up to score that point. Pass if you don't know an answer. We'll come back to it if there's time left on the clock. Paul, you good?
I'm ready.
All right. He's ready. Joey's ready. 60 seconds on the clock. The category, Let's Go Padres. Your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck, Joey. Let's Take on Woods.
Bad.
Which 1986 Madonna song from her True Blue album sparked controversy for its lyrics dealing with the topic of teenage pregnancy? What is the title of the autobiographical 1997 song by Everclear that's about lead singer Art Alexakis being abandoned by his dad as a child?
Father of Mine.
Correct. Knows for songs including You and Me and Bottle Makes Three Tonight, which swing revival band performed at halftime of the 1999 Super Bowl?
Oh, tap.
Which very cool-sounding 1972 hit for The Temptations features a nearly four-minute extended musical introduction, including Maurice Davis on trumpet?
Oh, this is brutal. Pass.
Let's go back to our two-second song. Remember the category. Time is up. I did a terrible job reading some of those questions.
Yeah,
you got the one. You got Father of Mine by Everclear. So that was Father Figure by George Michael. Papa Don't Preach is the Madonna song about teenage pregnancy. Big Bad Voodoo Daddy performed at the Super Bowl. You and Me and Bottle Makes Three tonight. And Papa Was a Rolling Stone is the Temptations song. So just one there, Joey. I don't know if that's going to be enough. Tough category again today.
In 7 minutes?
Well, it took Ben.
The phones had an issue, so we had to call for some extra callers.
All right.
I've been stumbling around a little bit.
Ben could not.
He's in Vegas. He's in Vegas already. When do you leave next Wednesday?
Not for another week and day.
Oh, this is your first vacation of the year, though.
It is.
So you're starting early.
It is.
I get it.
All right, 60 seconds on the clock. Your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck, Woods. Let's take on Joey.
That's all I want to hear. That's Father Figure by George Michael.
Correct. Which 1986 Madonna song from her True Blue album sparked controversy for its lyrics dealing with the topic of teenage pregnancy?
That is Papa Don't Preach.
Correct. What's the title of the autobiographical 1997 song by Everclear that's about lead singer Art Alexakis being abandoned
by his father?
Correct. Known for songs including You and Me and Bottle Makes Three Tonight, which swing revival band performed at halftime of the 1999 Super Bowl?
Big Bad Voodoo Daddy.
Correct. Which very cool-sounding 1972 hit for The Temptations features nearly four-minute extended musical...
Papa Was a Rolling Stone.
5 out of 5. I thought that was a tough category.
You
blew that one out of the water.
Papa Was a Rolling Stone is one of my favorite songs.
Really?
It's
four
unreal.
Minutes of music before anything there. That category
so
was called
good.
Let's Go Padres, by the way.
Oh, the dads.
Mm-hmm. And like Doug Downing, you know Doug, was...
Let's Go Padres.
He submitted some of the questions.
Oh, Doug did?
One. Yeah.
Thank you, Doug.
Want to thank him for that. And Joey, thank you for calling in and playing, but you had no chance against Woods today.
Yeah, Paulie, how do you feel when you hear Father of Mine?
It's my theme song.
It's insane, right? Like when you're just like, oh.
Where have you been?
How's that go?
Yeah, play Papa Was a Rolling Stone as we go to our break here.
Song rules.
We've got Don't Do This coming up next. I have an update on... There's not just one gambling scandal, of course, in sports right now. There's also one in the NBA.
Yeah.
And some details are coming out.
More details?
Pretty gnarly. Breaking this morning on that one, so we'll give you an update during Don't Do This coming up next.
Wow.
Didn't you have something you wanted to do for Do This?
Yeah, I'm going to do the a nice debut for a rookie pitcher last night against a very good team.
It's all coming up next with Ben and Woods after a check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
Oh, I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You're a dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
All right, it's time for Don't Do This. A couple of stories that make you shake your head, and a little do this as well. But Woods, you wanted to start with our good friend, Miami Marlins manager, Skip Schumacher.
Oh, no, I'm starting with our old friend, Bob Melvin.
Okay.
Who, I mean, I think the Don't Do This goes to Bob Melvin last
or
night,
the
right?
umpires.
Or the umpires, yeah.
It was a weird situation in Miami when Bob Melvin came out of the dugout to change pitchers.
Yes.
In the eighth inning, and they called for, well, he wanted Camilo Duvall to come out of the bullpen.
Allegedly.
But then Taylor Rogers is the one who actually came
out onto the field.
And when he started, he got like halfway there, and Bob realized that's not who I wanted.
It's the wrong guy.
So they let, the umpires let the change happen, and Taylor went back, and Camilo Duvall came out and pitched. What Skip was mad about, though, was that even if you're allowed to, you know, make that change, he said, we're very strict on the pitch clock rules. Once the bullpen reliever hits the warning track, the clock starts. And if you're not ready by the time that clock hits zero, that's a ball. At the very least,
This
mistake that the Giants made, the wrong guy coming out, they should be charged a ball. And the umpires didn't even charge them a pitch clock violation. They just let them freely, willy-nilly, just have their pitchers run out around in circles
and finally come
into the game.
Because the rule before the pitch clock was if he touches the rubber, he needs to pitch.
You have to make throw a pitch.
And, Laz Diaz, who's the umpire,
three batters,
said if a manager immediately indicates a mistake was made in calling the wrong pitcher, he can change pitchers without penalty. Now, Skip came and he argued, then he came back out and argued again and finally got tossed from the game.
Duvall was really slow to come out of the bullpen, and, like, I don't know that he was ready. And so he was in there kind of milking it, and that's, I think, what Skip... I would never give Skip a don't.
Skip is also a little frustrated with the Marlins blew a lead in that game, and the Giants came back to win. They're now 3-14
tough,
on the season.
Dude. Such a tough...
They also, just in the sub-note, sent down one of their most effective pitchers yesterday in Max Meyer to make room for Edward Cabrera on the roster. Some people are saying, you know, they're just going cheap and roster manipulation and, you know, impacting his service time. Kid has pitched really well for them so far. He's had 2 6-inning starts this year, really, really good.
Well,
but they sent him back down to the minors.
This guy, Bendix, that replaced Kim Ng.
Peter Bendix,
yeah. He is. I follow a lot of Marlins accounts because I love Skip. And I you've never seen vitriol. You've never seen vitriol like the Marlins fan base has for Peter Bendix.
I mean, you can be mad at him, but the directive is coming from somewhere. The fact that he only spent, $5 million on Tim Anderson in the offseason.
Yeah.
You know, no GM comes in and I'm getting this job. Here's what I want to do.
I want to spend $5 million.
I want to do nothing to this team. I am very excited. There's got to be some sort of directive.
For sure.
We're not spending
money
this year. This is just the way it goes.
This is how we're doing it.
And, you know, it eventually trickles down to the manager who's got to wear it on a daily basis. That's a tough job now, you know, for the reigning manager of the year.
So
they put him in a really bad position this year. It's not really fair for him.
Nope.
It's not fair for the fans. Sometimes it's the reality of baseball. You got to reset, but that's too bad what's going on early in the season in Miami. All right, this is an update this morning from the Action Sports Network on the other gambling scan, non-Ipe Mizuhara Shohei Ohtani related. Toronto Raptors center Jontay Porter, who's already been suspended, I believe, by the NBA. The details are now coming out of his gambling issues. According to sources in this report from the Action Network, Jontay Porter opened a VIP account at FanDuel in Colorado and wagered millions of dollars from 2021 to 2023.
Oh, he's done that.
Now, FanDuel, it says they did not accept any wagers on the NBA or college basketball from Porter. His brother, by the way, Michael Porter, huge member of the Denver Nuggets as well. But what really was the problem here, of course, is that the NBA started investigating irregular betting activity on Jontay Porter's prop bets. When he started, like, people were betting heavily on unders for Jontay Porter's performance, and he would come through with, like, a minute, and then he'd get hurt and come out of the game.
Take
himself out of the game. That raised some huge red flags. Like, even if he's not betting,
he's got to go.
It does seem as though maybe some gamblers got their hooks in him.
He's got to go, dude. You got to go if you're Adam Silver. He's got to go.
He's on leave from the Raptors. They're investigating. It would not shock me if it ended up that he got banned from basketball for life.
No question.
I know Adam Silver has said that that is
certainly
a possibility. He has the power to do that. But as these details come out, and if these are true, it's certainly trending that direction. Maybe even a bigger scandal than the Shohei. I know Shohei got a lot more attention, but if it was simply a translator stealing money from him and gambling, it's actually not as big of a deal as this is
massive,
in the NBA.
Massive. Yeah. Massive, massive. All right, let's give some props to a rookie here.
D.D. Mega Doo-Doo.
Probably never heard the name Mitchell Parker. I had not either. And it's one of those games. The National
Mitchell Friedman?
Mitchell Parker.
It's a major league reference.
All right. Thank you. Calafrata Pino. Mitchell Parker won his major league debut. One of those games, if you're the Nationals, you go, oh, cool. We got the Dodgers tonight on Jackie Robinson Day. And Tyler Glasnow is on the bump against us. Hey, Rook, take this rock, go out there, give us everything you got. This SOB goes out there in his major league debut, strikes out Mookie Betts to start the game, Ben, and ends up getting the win. Gets the win in his major league debut, allowed 2 runs, 4 hits, and 5 innings, walked none.
Doesn't know enough to be intimidated.
100%. Struck out 4, and he in the third, he retired Betts, struck out Shohei, and then got Freddie Freeman to ground out in order in the third inning. Like, if this kid never pitches in the big leagues again, that is such an amazing, remarkable day for him in the big leagues. That's incredible. Just cut through that Dodgers order, like, all right, no problem. Got himself the win. They were able to get to Tyler Glasnow. And, of course, Dave Roberts said after the game, Tyler wasn't feeling well. So,
what's that, 5 of 7 losses now for the Dodgers?
Los Angeles manager Dave Roberts says Glasnow wasn't feeling well. I feel like a sick Tyler Glasnow, even if he had diarrhea, should be able to carve up the Washington Nationals. That's just me, though. I guess I just have higher expectations. That's how I roll. That's don't and do this on a Tuesday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
At the end. All right, we'll come back. Padres made a signing yesterday, maybe a timely signing, to a minor league contract. We'll discuss the move and perhaps the reason it happened yesterday. With Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Woods, you grew up as a Yankees fan. You know who Donnie Ballgame is, obviously.
No, Ben. I don't know who Don Mattingly is.
But had you ever heard of Donnie Barrels?
Donnie Barrels.
I had never heard of Donnie.
Donovan Solano.
I had never heard of Donnie Barrels. I mean, I'd have heard of Donovan Solano, but I didn't know his nickname was Donnie Barrels until yesterday, but he is the newest member of the San Diego Padres organization, and maybe an important under-the-radar signing. I want to talk about the move that the Padres made. Get to that after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. In any of our many discussions over the last, I'd say 3 months, about one more bat that the Padres need to sign for their offense, was the name Donovan Solano ever brought up on this program? And I will answer the question for you. No, it was not.
Oh, I talked about him all the time. You just weren't paying attention.
Was the name Donovan Solano even included on lists of, you know, like ESPN, like available free agents? I don't remember seeing Donovan Solano's name brought up. But when the Padres signed him yesterday to a minor league deal, and then I looked at his numbers, I go, man, a pretty good season last year for the Minnesota Twins. Hit .282. Had a like a expected OBA over .350. I mean, solid offensive production from a 35-year-old at the time, now 36-year-old, with Padres signed to a minor league deal yesterday. Hits Both sides of the plate pretty well, hits against lefties and righties decently. I remember him from the Giants a few years ago. They went to the Reds and then the Twins last year.
I feel like he torched us with the Giants.
I do too, probably.
Feel like that. I don't know what the numbers
but,
are.
But a guy who wasn't on my radar at all. Yet, I would not be surprised if we did see Donovan Solano coming up to the big league sooner rather than later.
Did I see him getting ABs in Arizona yesterday?
He was supposed to report to Arizona. I did not see any video, but that was the kind of extended spring training first stop for Donovan Solano. And the timing of the deal, I don't think is a coincidence, because it came on the same day that Tommy Pham officially agreed to a $3 million deal with the Chicago White Sox, plus another $1.5 million in possible incentives. And Bob Nightingale did report that the Padres were in on the bidding.
He rakes against the Padres.
For Tommy Pham.
Does he?
Donovan Solano does.
108 career at-bats. He's hitting .347.
Mama.
875 OPS.
Okay.
So it is my assumption that the second the A.J. Preller learned, okay, Tommy Pham's not going to take our best final offer, he may have pivoted to Donovan Solano. Now, not the same position, but same age, same, you know, bat coming potentially as a DH, a veteran, adding some offense there for the San Diego Padres. And
what's his primary position? Third? Is he
first and third, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to need...
But you need a DH.
You need a DH at this point. And it, for when Manny gets back now, the only thing that makes me nervous is, does this signal Manny may be out longer than expected? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. I know he's throwing, and Ben wants to start him at first base tonight, which I thought was very weird, but stranger things have happened. But Donovan Solano, when ready, Ben, I think he's going to be a nice piece. And that's the other thing, too. If everybody's healthy, if Jake comes back healthy and Manny comes back 100% healthy playing third base, Donovan Solano as your DH or coming off the bench even is a much better option than what we have right now, I think.
So in his career, 820 games, he's played 444 at second, so okay, a little over half. He's played 111 at first base, 68 games at third, 42 at short, and 10 in left field.
Okay. So, versatile, I guess.
He's a utility guy.
Utility guy.
But
that hits well.
A solid offensive performer. Now, are we at all surprised by the trend in Major League Baseball, this offseason in particular? Older guys, pitchers and hitters, they are no longer finding the money there for the contracts that they were looking for. Tommy Pham was reportedly looking for, what, $8 to $10 million or more this offseason? He ended up settling for $3 million plus some incentives with a dead last place team that is going nowhere. I mean, you've got to think Tommy's hoping he gets traded at some point. And in fact, they put in his contract that he gets a $500,000 bonus if he gets traded. So they were clearly thinking that he's not, he may start the season with the White Sox here, but he's not going to end the season with the Chicago White Sox if things go the way Tommy Pham is hoping that they go.
I had to laugh at Bob Nightingale's tweet, as I normally do at Bob Nightingale's tweets. It's the way that he phrased it. Well, Padres got outbid, you know, for Tommy Pham. No, I think the Padres had a number they didn't want to go over, and they said, all right, go enjoy Chicago, right?
Well, technically, that's getting outbid.
Technically, yes. Tommy, we're going to give you this. You interested in playing on a team with some upside and that you're familiar with, or do you want to go play for the White Sox? And, you know, again, I don't look at this and go, oh, man, we are really broke. I go, there was a number you didn't want to go over for Tommy Pham, and he didn't want to take it, and that's his prerogative. But, you know, now he's going to go play in Chicago. He's got the $3 million deal, $1.5 million in incentives. And like you mentioned, if he gets traded, $500,000 coming his way. And he most certainly will if he has a good season for them.
Call it whatever you want. A.J. Preller has learned a little bit about financial discipline.
Yeah, that
this
too.
Offseason.
Yeah.
In the past, you get the sense that, yeah, an extra $1 million wasn't going to be the make or break between signing. If he wanted Tommy Pham, he would have signed Tommy Pham.
Yeah,
and
for
if
sure.
He needed to get to $4 million to do it, then they just would have gotten to $4 million to do it. But this offseason has been very different. And AJ has stuck to his, like, okay, our evaluation is we can offer you 2.5, whatever it was, and that's all we're going to offer you. Now it's up to you. You want to take our offer, you want to go somewhere else, make that decision yourself.
Someone in the thread there said, this is worse than being unemployed, playing for the Chicago White Sox right now. I mean, it is the toughest scene.
$3 million punishment.
$3 million punishment. Like, punish me by giving me $3 million. Sure. But again, I think his motivation is he's going to go in there and try to hit balls hard and get traded to a contender at the deadline and collect an extra $500K in the process.
Back to Solano real quick. I'm throwing it up on our YouTube stream. You weren't crazy, Woods. He was in Arizona yesterday, apparently. Our buddy Josh sent this over. Jerry Espinoza.
Yeah, Jerry's great.
Does photography out in Arizona, and he said he posted that video yesterday of Solano getting some work.
Good. Okay, so he's ready to go. Let's get him in the lineup ASAP.
Is it... I mean, is it fair to be disappointed? The Padres could have matched that offer that the White Sox and stayed under the luxury tax number, at least for now. They'd have less flexibility as the season goes on, but they could have gotten Tommy Pham. Or is it possible that Donovan Solano is just as good of an option, maybe even better?
Yeah, I'm beyond at this point getting super disappointed about filler guys, like, and that's what they are at this point. Nothing personal against them, but you know, if teams thought that Brandon Belt could help them, I think they would have signed him. Same with Tommy Pham. They're waiting. Everyone's kind of waiting it out, and it sucks, man. It sucks for these guys that are 34 to 36 years old. You don't want to be out of baseball. You feel like you got a few good years left in you, and you can help a team. But I'm beyond, Ben, getting super butthurt that we didn't get a $3 million player. Yeah, I'll be, you know, we don't get Roky Sasaki next year. That's when I'm in a deep depression. But, you know, the fact that we missed out on Adam Duvall, who's, you know, he's hitting 250 right now. He's got 0.3 war. The fact that we missed out on Tommy Pham is not going to bother me that much. I like kind of what we have. We do need reinforcements, though. And I think this is one of them.
I'll tell you what, I have less regrets about this than I do on the pitching side. Yesterday, three pitchers in particular, who all were at least discussed by the San Diego Padres in the offseason. Don't know if they ever really thought about Sonny Gray, but it was a name we heard about. He had his second start with the Cardinals. He has yet to give up an earned run. Now, it was against the A's yesterday, but they did get the 3-1 win. Michael Lorenzen was a name that we talked about quite a bit as a potential option for the Padres rotation. He made his debut for the Texas Rangers through 5 shutout innings and got the win against the Detroit Tigers. But the one guy, I don't know that you could have afforded him, but I really wanted to keep him in the offseason. I really wanted to keep Seth Lugo.
Oh my God, what a start.
He may be the best pitcher in baseball so far this season.
He is.
He has been
so hot,
so nasty for the Kansas City Royals. 7 more shutout innings. He's now 3-0 with a 1.05 ERA. He's constantly on Pitching Ninja for his just absolutely ridiculous curveballs that are getting like 3,300 RPMs on the spin and just dropping off the table. And I think we all really loved what we saw from Seth Lugo last season. Now, they didn't have the option on him like they had on Michael Wacha. They would have had, you know, he opted out and he earned his right to get back to free agency. But he ended up signing for, what was it, was it 16?
Yeah.
That he ended up signing for? Seems like a pretty good deal right now that the Kansas City Royals got. A guy who has pitched like a top of the rotation
3-year,
guy.
45.
So, 15. For Seth Lugo.
God, he's been so nasty this year.
Really, really, really good for the Royals so far.
Yeah, buddy.
And everyone loved him. Everybody loved him. With the Padres
You know, Ruben, him saying, I'm so much more than a reliever. I'm so much more than a 2-3 inning guy, whatever, and saying, I want the ball. I want to do this. And then doing it. And then wanting to parlay it. I just Googled him again. Sports Illustrated had an article back in December. It says that he did turn down a 4-year deal from the Padres before signing the 3-year deal.
Less average value.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the consequence, though, now of a couple of bad deals that AJ Preller has given out.
Yes.
And you can pick whatever one you want. I mean, go back to Eric Hosmer. They're paying him $13 million this year to tweet a lot in retirement. $13 million, where you could have had...
That fool is on a Twitter rampage.
Where you
right
could
now.
Have had Seth Lugo for $15 million if you weren't paying Eric Hosmer $13 million, essentially with the same payroll, and you'd have...
You're still paying Drew Pomeranz this year?
No, he's off the payroll finally, but Eric Hosmer's still there. For the price that essentially you could have the guy who's been maybe the best pitcher in baseball, best starting pitcher in baseball so far this season. That's the consequence of bad contracts that eventually come home to roost, and why you can't make too many mistakes. You can't never spend anything. You have to take some chances on some guys. I totally get that. But once in a while, it's going to come back to burn you. And I feel like not being able to sign Seth Lugo over the matter of a couple, you know, few million dollars, that one stings so far this season because he has looked sharp.
It's very sharp. Very, very sharp. Yeah, we did the whole bit in the offseason. Who would you keep, Walker or Lugo? And I think everybody to a man said Lugo. But again, yeah, kind of feels like the one that got away right now could really, really help this squad. But listen, you live and you learn. Can't do anything about it now.
You know, the pitchers that they have gotten, they certainly have a rotation that could be very good this year. It would be better with Seth Lugo.
No question. Unquestionably better with Seth Lugo. Yeah, it sucks. Every time you see him pitch, you're like, oh, good for you,
I
Seth.
I would have been happy with either one of them coming back, but Lugo was the one that
he was a fierce,
fierce
competitor.
He had the dog in him.
Yeah, he did.
For sure.
He did.
It's something to prove. Now it looks like he's got something to prove again.
And Kansas City's, you know, off to a great start.
Largely in part to Seth Lugo.
Yep.
Kind of changing things around there, like an entire attitude adjustment in Kansas City. It's been remarkable to see.
Do you think everybody would have liked Hosmer had he tweeted more when he was here? Like, call me crazy. I'm enjoying his Twitter feed. I'm reading it going, hey, look at you defending Manny.
I think
and
it's
blah,
dangerous
blah, blah.
For a player to be tweeting too much when they're actually an active player.
What about any?
Any tweeting?
Any tweeting. Like, hey, guys, you know.
What current Padres tweet now?
It's a good question. I don't know.
Even in the offseason, there's not a lot of activity.
They're very big on Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
Very big on Instagram.
I mean, they have, most of the guys have a team that's posting. It's just.
Kind of like yourself.
Promotional pictures.
Yeah. You have a team. Me and Paul.
I tweet my own tweets.
You tweet your own tweets?
Yes.
Yeah, but for the brand.
But like, I don't think Fernando Tatis Jr. is the guy putting up the tweets of his cleats and swag pictures every day. He's got someone who's doing that for him.
Much like
Manny,
like
has
I
some
said,
tweets.
Much like yourself.
He's got a team.
Much like yourself.
But again, I will take credit for my own tweets.
As you should.
On my account.
As you absolutely should.
All the bad puns are my own.
I would never
bad
want.
Puns.
I actually don't want to be associated with your Twitter very much at all. Not even in the slightest.
I'm going to sign my worst puns now. Woods.
Yeah, sometimes. Sometimes I see it and I go, oh my God, why does anybody listen to us? But that's just who you are, and I love that.
So send out a bad tweet. See if it lands. If it doesn't, then just reply to
Woods.
From
signed.
SW.
My team.
Ha's out here defending the Padres on a daily basis, which is like, I'm very conflicted about the whole thing. I don't really know how to feel.
We've got two more hours to go. Hour number three is an incorporator hour, and the chat on YouTube has done a great job providing incorporator words for Jesse Agler. He's going to be on TV tonight, so if you want to throw out some incorporator possibilities, crazy vocabulary words for Jesse's broadcast tonight, do so or tweet us at Ben and Woods. He'll join us in our 8 o'clock hour. Much more still to come on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. We'll be right back. Woods, you grew up as a Yankees fan. You know who Donnie Ballgame is, obviously.
No, Ben. I don't know who Don Mattingly is.
But had you ever heard of Donnie Barrels?
Donnie Barrels.
I had never heard of Donnie.
Donovan Solano.
I had never heard of Donnie Barrels. I mean, I'd have heard of Donovan Solano, but I didn't know his nickname was Donnie Barrels until yesterday. But he is the newest member of the San Diego Padres organization. And maybe an important under-the-radar signing. I want to talk about the move that the Padres made. Get to that after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. In any of our many discussions over the last, 3 months, about one more bat that the Padres need to sign for their offense, Was the name Donovan Solano ever brought up on this program? And I will answer the question for you. No, it was not.
Oh, I talked about him all the time. You just weren't paying attention.
Was the name Donovan Solano even included on lists of, you know, like ESPN, like available free agents? I don't remember seeing Donovan Solano's name brought up. But when the Padres signed him yesterday to a minor league deal, and then I looked at his numbers, I go, man, a pretty good season last year for the Minnesota Twins. Hit .282. Had a like an expected OBA over .350. I mean, solid offensive production from a 35-year-old at the time, now 36-year-old, who the Padres signed to a minor league deal yesterday. Hits both sides of the plate pretty well. Hits against lefties and righties decently. I remember him from the Giants a few years ago. They went to the Reds and then the Twins last year.
I feel like he torched us with the Giants.
I do too. Probably.
Feel like that. I don't know what the numbers
are. But a guy who wasn't on my radar at all. Yet I would not be surprised if we did see Donovan Solano coming up to the big league sooner rather than later.
Did I see him getting ABs in Arizona yesterday?
He was supposed to report to Arizona. I did not see any video, but that was the kind of extended spring training first stop for Donovan Solano. And the timing of the deal, I don't think is a coincidence, because it came on the same day that Tommy Pham officially agreed to a $3 million deal with the Chicago White Sox, plus another $1.5 million in possible incentives. And Bob Nightingale did report that the Padres were in on the bidding.
He rakes against the Padres.
For Tommy Pham.
Does he?
Donovan Solano does.
108 career at-bats. He's hitting .347.
Mama.
875 OPS.
Okay.
So it is my assumption that the second that A.J. Preller learned, okay, Tommy Pham's not going to take our best final offer, he may have pivoted to Donovan Solano. Now, not the same position, but same age, same, you know, bat coming potentially as a DH, a veteran, adding some offense there for the San Diego Padres. And
what's his primary position? Third? Is he
first and third? I believe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to need.
But you need a DH.
You need a DH at this point, and for when Manny gets back. Now, the only thing that makes me nervous is, does this signal Manny may be out longer than expected? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. I know he's throwing, and Ben wants to start him at first base tonight, which I thought was very weird, but stranger things have happened. But Donovan Solano, when ready, Ben, I think he's going to be a nice piece. And that's the other thing, too. If everybody's healthy, if Jake comes back healthy and Manny comes back 100% healthy playing third base, Donovan Solano as your DH or coming off the bench even is a much better option than what we have right now, I think.
So in his career, 820 games, he's played 444 at second, so okay, a little over half. He's played 111 at first base, 68 games at third, 42 at short, and 10 in left field.
Okay. So, versatile,
first
I guess.
Base. He's a utility guy.
Utility guy.
But
that hits well.
A solid offensive performer. Now, are we at all surprised by the trend in Major League Baseball, this offseason in particular? Older guys, pitchers and hitters, they are no longer finding the money there for the contract that they were looking for. Tommy Pham was reportedly looking for, what, $8 to $10 million or more this offseason? He ended up settling for $3 million plus some incentives with a dead last place team that is going nowhere. I mean, you've got to think Tommy's hoping he gets traded at some point. And in fact, they put in his contract that he gets a $500,000 bonus if he gets traded. So they were clearly thinking that he's not, he may start the season with the White Sox here, but he's not going to end the season with the Chicago White Sox if things go the way Tommy Pham is hoping that they go.
I had to laugh at Bob Nightingale's tweet, as I normally do at Bob Nightingale's tweets. It's the way that he phrased it. Well, Padres got outbid, you know, for Tommy Pham. No, I think the Padres had a number they didn't want to go over, and they said, all right, go enjoy Chicago, right?
Well, technically, that's getting outbid.
But technically, yes. Tommy, we're going to give you this. You interested in playing on a team with some upside and that you're familiar with, or do you want to go play for the White Sox? And, you know, again, I don't look at this and go, oh, man, we are really broke. I go, there was a number you didn't want to go over for Tommy Pham, and he didn't want to take it, and that's his prerogative. But, you know, now he's going to go play in Chicago. He's got the $3 million deal, $1.5 million in incentives. And like you mentioned, if he gets traded, $500,000 coming his way. And he most certainly will if he has a good season for them.
Call it whatever you want. AJ Preller has learned a little bit about financial discipline.
Yeah.
That's this offseason.
Yeah.
In the past, you get the sense that, yeah, an extra $1 million wasn't going to be the make or break. Between signing, if he wanted Tommy Pham, he would have signed Tommy Pham.
Yeah,
and
for
if
sure.
He needed to get to $4 million to do it, then they just would have gotten to $4 million to do it. But this offseason has been very different. And AJ has stuck to his, like, okay, our evaluation is we can offer you 2.5, whatever it was, and
yeah.
That's all we're going to offer you. Now it's up to you. You want to take our offer? You want to go somewhere else? Make that decision yourself.
Someone in the thread there said this is worse than being unemployed, playing for the Chicago White Sox right now. I mean, it is as tough a scene.
$3 million punishment.
$3 million punishment. Like, punish me by giving me $3 million.
Sure.
But again, I think his motivation is he's going to go in there and try to hit balls hard and get traded to a contender at the deadline and collect an extra $500K in the process.
No. Back to Solano real quick. I'm throwing it up on our YouTube stream. You weren't crazy, Woods. He was in Arizona yesterday, apparently. Our buddy Josh sent this over. Jerry Espinoza.
Yeah, Jerry's great.
Does photography out in Arizona, and he said he posted that video yesterday of Solano getting some work.
Good. Okay, so he's ready to go. Let's get him in the lineup ASAP.
Is it... I mean, is it fair to be disappointed? The Padres could have matched that offer that the White Sox and stayed under the luxury tax number, at least for now. They'd have less flexibility as the season goes on, but they could have gotten Tommy Pham. Or is it possible that Donovan Solano is just as good of an option, maybe even better?
Yeah, I'm beyond at this point getting super disappointed about filler guys, like, and that's what they are at this point. Nothing personal against them, but you know, if teams thought that Brandon Belt could help them, I think they would have signed him. Same with Tommy Pham. They're waiting. Everyone's kind of waiting it out, and it sucks, man. It sucks for these guys that are 34 to 36 years old. You don't want to be out of baseball. You feel like you got a few good years left in you, and you can help a team. But I'm beyond Ben getting super butthurt that we didn't get a $3 million player. Yeah, I'll be, you know, we don't get Roky Sasaki next year. That's when I'm in a deep depression. But, you know, the fact that we missed out on Adam Duvall, who's, you know, he's hitting 250 right now. He's got 0.3 war. The fact that we missed out on Tommy Pham is not, it's not going to bother me that much. I like kind of what we have. We do need reinforcements, though. And I think this is one of them.
I'll tell you what, I have less regrets about this than I do on the pitching side. Yesterday, three pitchers in particular, who all were at least discussed by the San Diego Padres in the offseason. Don't know if they ever really thought about Sonny Gray, but it was a name we heard about. He had his second start with the Cardinals. He has yet to give up an earned run. Now, it was against the A's yesterday, but they did get the 3-1 win. Michael Lorenzen was a name that we talked about quite a bit as a potential option for the Padres rotation. He made his debut for the Texas Rangers through 5 shutout innings and got the win against the Detroit Tigers. But the one guy,
I don't know that
you could have afforded him, but I really wanted to keep him in the offseason. I really wanted to keep Seth Lugo.
Oh my God, what a start.
He may be the best pitcher in baseball so far this season.
He is.
He has been
so hot,
so nasty for the Kansas City Royals. 7 more shutout innings. He's now 3-0 with a 1.05 ERA. He's constantly on Pitching Ninja for his just absolutely ridiculous curveballs that are getting like 3,300 RPMs on the spin and just dropping off the table. And I think we all really loved what we saw from Seth Lugo last season. Now, they didn't have the option on him like they had on Michael Wacha. They would have had, you know, he opted out and he earned his right to get back to free agency. But he ended up signing for, what was it, was it 16?
Yeah.
That he ended up signing for? Seems like a pretty good deal right now that the Kansas City Royals got. A guy who has pitched like a top of the rotation
3 years, 45.
So, 15. For Seth Lugo.
God, he's been so nasty this year.
Really, really, really good for the Royals so far.
Yeah, buddy.
And everyone loved him. Everyone loved him. with the Padres as well.
You know, Ruben, him saying I'm so much more than a reliever. I'm so much more than a 2-3 inning guy, whatever, and saying I want the ball, I want to do this, and then doing it, and then wanting to parlay it. I just Googled him again. Sports Illustrated had an article back in December. It says that he did turn down a 4-year deal from the Padres before signing the 3-year deal.
Less average value.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the consequence, though, now of a couple of bad deals that A.J. Preller has given out.
Yes.
And you can pick whatever one you want. I mean, go back to Eric Hosmer. They're paying him $13 million this year to tweet a lot in retirement. $13 million where you could have had...
That fool is on a Twitter rampage.
Where you
right
could
now.
Have had Seth Lugo for $15 million if you weren't paying Eric Hosmer $13 million essentially with the same payroll, and you'd have...
You're still paying Drew Pomeranz this year?
No, he's off the payroll finally, but Eric Hosmer's still there for the price that essentially you could have the guy who's been maybe the best pitcher in baseball, best starting pitcher in baseball so far this season. That's the consequence of bad contracts that eventually come home to roost, and why you can't make too many mistakes. You can't never spend anything. You have to take some chances on some guys. I totally get that. But once in a while, it's going to come back to burn you. And I feel like not being able to sign Seth Lugo over the matter of a few million dollars, that one stings so far this season because he has looked sharp.
It's very sharp. Very, very sharp. Yeah, we did the whole bit in the offseason. Who would you keep, Walker or Lugo? And I think everybody to a man said Lugo. But again, yeah, kind of feels like the one that got away right now could really, really help this squad. But listen, you live and you learn. Can't do anything about it now.
You know, the pitchers that they have gotten, they certainly have a rotation that could be very good this year. It would be better with Seth Lugo.
No question. Unquestionably better with Seth Lugo. Yeah, it sucks. Every time you see him pitch, you're like, oh, good for you,
I
Seth.
I would have been happy with either one of them coming back, but Lugo was the one that...
Yeah,
really
Lugo, he just was a fierce competitor.
He had the dog in him.
Yeah, he did.
For sure.
He did.
It's something to prove. Now it looks like he's got something to prove again.
And Kansas City's, you know, off to a great start.
Largely in part to Seth Lugo.
Yep.
Kind of changing things around there, like an entire attitude adjustment in Kansas City. It's been remarkable to see.
Do you think everybody would have liked Hosmer had he tweeted more when he was here? Like, call me crazy. I'm enjoying his Twitter feed. I'm reading it going, hey, look at you defending Manny.
I think
and
it's
blah,
dangerous
blah, blah.
For a player to be tweeting too much when they're actually an active player.
How about any?
Any tweeting?
Any tweeting. Like, hey, guys, you know.
What current Padres tweet now?
It's a good question. I don't know.
Even in the offseason, there's not a lot of activity.
They're very big on Instagram.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Very big on Instagram.
I mean, they have, most of the guys have a team that's posting. It's just.
Kind of like yourself.
Promotional pictures.
Yeah. You have a team. Me and Paul.
I tweet my own tweets.
You tweet your own tweets?
Yes.
Yeah, but for the brand.
But, like, I don't think Fernando Tatis Jr. is the guy putting up the tweets of his cleats and swag pictures every day. He's got someone who's doing that for him.
Much like
Manny has
some tweets. Much like yourself.
He's got a team.
Much like yourself.
But, again, I will take credit for my own tweets.
As you should.
On my account.
As you absolutely should.
All the bad puns are my own.
That's it. I would never
bad
want.
Puns.
I actually don't want to be associated with your Twitter very much at all. Not even in the slightest.
I'm going to sign my worst puns now. Woods.
Yeah, sometimes. Sometimes I see it and I go, oh my God, why does anybody listen to us? But that's just who you are, and I love that.
So send
you.
Out a bad tweet. See if it lands. If it doesn't, then just reply
Woods.
To
Woods. Like,
from
signed.
Signed SW.
My team.
Haas out here defending the Padres on a daily basis, which is like, I'm very conflicted about the whole thing. I don't really know how to feel.
We've got two more hours to go. Hour number three is an incorporator hour, and the chat on YouTube has done a great job providing incorporator words for Jesse Agler. He's going to be on TV tonight, so if you want to throw out some incorporator possibilities, crazy vocabulary words for Jesse's broadcast tonight, do so or tweet us at Ben and Woods. He'll join us in our 8 o'clock hour. Much more still to come on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.